I'm Zach Coble. I'm the chairperson of the Commission on Disability Issues. This is our October 18th meeting. I call this meeting to order at 3:35 p.m. Rick, can you take roll call, please?
Cindy. Sue Kroger. Okay. Derek Espadas.
Present.
Billy Holbrook.
Here.
Ann Furman.
Here.
Zach Coble.
Here.
Ray Jordan.
Present.
Lee Bogan. We have a quorum. We have six.
Great. Thank you, Rick. We'll get right into the agenda. The first substantial item on the agenda is approval of the minutes of our September 20th, 2023 meeting. Did commission members have a chance to review those meeting minutes that Rick sent out with the meeting announcement for this meeting? Okay. I would, unless people have questions, I would be looking for a motion to approve those minutes. Then we can.
I move we approve the minutes. This is Holbrook.
Thank you, Commissioner Holbrook.
This is Commissioner Jordan. Just a point here. The version of the minutes that was included with the agenda is a slightly older version of the minutes. From my point of view, the correct version is the one that we received yesterday morning at about 11 a.m. It's been corrected from the PDF version that's attached to the agenda. So there are two versions in, and we need to verify which is the correct.
The last version I sent you and that last email indicates that, and that's the one that you're voting on.
Yeah. The last email?
Yes. With the corrections that you had suggested.
So and can you verify the time and date of that last email, please?
Sure, one moment. Almost there. Okay, so that's the draft for the SunTran. Let me go to the minutes. And here we go. That one was sent out on 10/17. At 10:53 a.m. And it says revised draft minutes. And it'll be on the bottom that you mentioned for the correction, Mr. Jordan.
Revised. And everyone else. That is the correct version. Agreed. Yes. So that's the Word documents version, not the PDF.
Right.
Companies the agenda. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you.
I usually will send it out in two versions because some individuals cannot open up a PDF. That's why I'll send out the Word. But otherwise, the one that I sent out that last email is the one that you're voting on.
Correct. That is the one on the motion. Okay. So to that end, Commissioner Holbrook moved to accept the minutes. I would be looking for a second on that.
I'll do that.
Commissioner Jordan, thank you. Yes. Any discussion of the minutes or additional corrections that need to be made? Okay, hearing no discussion or need for corrections. Rick, can you please take roll call for to see if this motion is accepted?
Yes, sir. Sue Kroger?
Yes.
Derek Espadas?
Yes.
Billy Holbrook?
Yes.
Ann Furman?
Ann Furman?
Yes.
Zach Coble?
Yes.
Ray Jordan?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you, Rick. Next on our agenda, I believe, is a call to the audience. So this is where members of the public, if they have joined us, can speak to us and share their opinions on issues surrounding the disability community. We generally do not take comments after this, so this would be your time if you have comments or questions.
What normally happens during the commentary period?
Miss Alicia Howe. So
that's it.
This is just a time where, you know, you as a member of the public, member of, you know, the Tucson community could share, you know, what's going on for you, you know, as a member or, you know, an interested party of the disability community and anything you would like the commission to know, you know, that's in the city that, you know, concerns you, that type of thing.
Okay. I'll take this opportunity to introduce myself. I know Derek and he lured me here today. So I'm Alicia Howell. I work at the university. I'm legally blind and have a degenerative retinal condition. So I don't drive. I've been in Tucson for about 3 years and I'm thinking of leaving town because Tucson is a tough place to be without a car. I live along the streetcar route. I pay a premium on my rent for that and I'm able to get where I need to go along the streetcar, but anything outside of that route, my hands are absolutely tied. The public transit doesn't run frequently enough for a person who's trying to maintain a professional life. And there's just a lot of safety concerns as well in the area where I live around theft and gun violence. So I think there's a lot of big problems to solve, and I'm excited to see, you know, folks like Derek come into this group and, you know, people who are trying to move the needle in important ways.
Well, we really appreciate that feedback, Ms. Howell, and we definitely, you know, do take public transit seriously, at least in our advisory role to the city. One of the things that we have, you know, on the agenda is a letter with recommendations to mayor and council as to how public transit could better serve people with disabilities and, you know, in general. And then today we'll be talking about Sunvan, which is the paratransit option for people with disabilities in Tucson as well. So it's one of our major issues, definitely one of our major issues. Thank you for sharing. So to that end, maybe we can move on to the next item on our agenda just very briefly. And I would like to give the opportunity for our newest commissioner, Mr. Espadas, to introduce himself, maybe tell the public kind of why you're interested in this and what your professional experience is or, you know, what your interests are. So.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Happy to be here. So I've been a Tucson resident for about 20 years, originally from Los Angeles. My interest is actually that I'm in a wheelchair. So I very much can relate to the struggles of trying to get around town. Not only that, as people with disabilities, like our disabilities are so unique to ourselves that to say, trying to see things from multiple perspectives. So for myself, being in a wheelchair, the experience is a lot different from Ms. Howell, who just spoke, who's visually impaired. And I think even within our own community, we don't see the perspective of others. And that hinders a lot of the progress we can make for accessibility, because I don't keep in mind visual impairment because I'm so concerned with mobility. So keeping aware of other people's perspectives. My professional background is I am a graduate of the U of A, which is always important, an accountant, and I actually run a small micro school here in Tucson, and working on my doctorate in business. So definitely have a business background, and I have always been interested with some of the HR questions that have been presented in this commission. So glad to be a part. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Espadas, and we're happy to have your perspective. And as Cody, multiple members have different types of disabilities, and we represent across maybe not a super representative cross section of disabled people here in the city, but we are a cross disability commission, which I think is important to give that variety of perspectives as well and share that. So thank you. We are happy to have you. The next item on our agenda, which will be our most substantive item, is a discussion with, SunTran representatives, regarding SunVan reliability, rider experience, and additional options, for service and safety. So I believe we have, looking at the list of folks on the call, I believe we have some representatives from SunVan, Mr. Spade, Mr. Manigan, or Ms. Manigan, and Mr. Cronenshield. I'm not sure which one of you or all of you will want to speak or kind of introduce yourselves. So the floor right now is yours, though.
Well, good afternoon, Zach. My name is Sean Mankin. I'm the Assistant General Manager at SunVan, and I hope you can hear me okay. I'm just going to begin to address some issues that were presented in, I think, email and on the agenda regarding SunVan, and, of course, field questions as well. But first, I'll just kind of hone in on some of those questions that I saw that were communicated and try to give some context regarding our reservations process, for one. And then there was also a concern about the app, a couple of concerns expressed about the app and customer service and that kind of thing. So I'll just start by describing our reservations process to you a bit, just to shed some light on that, because there was a question about riders getting their desired pickup time versus those that do not due to service limitations. So just to kind of set it up, basically when a client calls SunVan, they request typically a scheduled pickup time or appointment time, which would be the drop-off time. And when the agent receives that call, they know that they need to set up a window, a 30-minute pickup window for that trip. So if a client calls and requests a certain time, say 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the agent's going to be looking for 1:45 to 2:15. And so if the agent finds that a time within that time frame, we're meeting that request, so to speak. So the scheduled requested pickup time might be 2 o'clock. And agents try, if at all possible, to find a fit or a match for that trip. The ADA regulations allow us to negotiate a pickup time 1 hour before or 1 hour after the pickup time. So if that requested time isn't available, the agent then must look for a time that closely matches that requested time as closely as possible, the best solution possible, either 1 hour before or 1 hour after that pickup time. And so sometimes clients do not get that requested pickup time. And so the agent then looks for the best possible solution places that the ride on that route. And so then the day of service comes and the client takes that trip. And so we call that the negotiation process, and it's just a typical process for securing trips. With the high demand we have, and a lot of clients calling in to make trips, there are probably more instances than usual of times when clients don't get the exact requested pickup time that they want. But we have a policy of no trip denials, which means if a client calls to request a trip and the route looks like it's already full and solutions are kind of maxed out, the agent's still going to try to book that trip. So they're going to look for the best possible fit available. And so that means they're going to be looking at routes that might be the best fit. And the call may take a little longer than it normally does as well, because they're looking for that good match. And so some of our calls are taking a little bit of time. And so customers might find slight delays getting in to the reservations agents, especially at peak times, like morning hours between 7 and 9 or 10, and then afternoon times up till 4 o'clock when our reservations department closes. So there are issues with the high demand and also the bounce back we're trying to achieve coming back from COVID and adding operators to our ranks. And so we're making a lot of strides. We're glad for that. Our on-time performance is up to close to 90%, which is not what we would like to see. We'd like to see 94.5%. We'd like to run better than we are, but we feel we're making a good stride in achieving about 90% under the current circumstances. But we hope to improve as much as we possibly can going forward. And so that kind of addresses hopefully that issue of clients not quite getting their pickup time. So there was also a question about the app. And so some clients are using the Sunvan app, which is a great tool for those who may not want to call our booking department and they want to just book through the app. They go ahead and do that, and they can do so outside of Sunvan hours as well. So that's the convenience of the app. Challenge sometimes that they're running into is that the app is not giving them a solution. Just like if they were to call the reservations department, the agent's not going to find a solution initially, but the agent has the capability of going beyond the limitation that the app presents by looking for a good solution. So they're going to force that trip in the best possible way they can, whereas the person utilizing the app comes up against a roadblock, and they don't have permissions in the app to override the system and book that trip. And that's by design. We'd rather the agents and the reservations department be able to determine that trip availability and that booking scenario, so that we're totally maxing out a certain time point. And so the agent has much more leeway when that occurs. And so what happens is the client who runs into that issue needs to call the Sunvan reservations department when they're coming up against a hard stop, so to speak. And so they'll call, the agent then finds that trip and forces it and puts it into the system the best we possibly can. So that's the scenario with the app. So those were a couple of issues that were mentioned. One of the questions was, how are rider complaints handled and resolved? So Sunvan has a process, whereby when a complaint is generated, somebody has a concern, they can call the 792-9222 number, which is our customer service line, and speak with an agent, express their issue. That complaint is then logged officially in our system, in our database, and then we are notified by the customer service department through email, typically, and clients can contact by phone, by email, that kind of thing, if they'd like to lodge a complaint or concern. So the concern comes down to us, and at that point, we then follow up depending on the situation. For instance, if a person, for instance, was left behind and the van left the pickup location, we're going to pull the video from the van. We're going to investigate that complaint, and we're going to verify the validity of the complaint. What was the driver doing? Where was the client? You know, and we just look at all those variables. We then follow up if there's an issue and the concern is valid. We will then get with the operator and we counsel the operator. We retrain the operator and we sometimes issue discipline. We follow the Sunvan disciplinary process. So that's the basic process that happens. We take complaints seriously because what we believe is that that's a reflection on our service. Therefore, we need to address any issue that comes to our attention. So hope that answers that question to some degree. Does anybody have a question at this point about what I've discussed so far? Yeah, Zach? Zach, I think you're muted there.
I was moving the mouse over to the microphone. I have a few questions. One is like, does Sunvan's administration feel that like there is adequate staffing of drivers and call representatives mm-hmm. to ensure, you know, like a greater on-time percentage, like up at that 94% to 95% rate that you're speaking of right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, Steve?
Do you have that slide you can bring up?
Yeah, let me bring that. So, Zach, I'm gonna share my screen, Zach, and we'll talk about some of those points.
So, and I'm just going to jump in on a couple things. Coming out of the pandemic, the transportation industry has really had a tough time bringing people back into the market to drive. What Sean's going to show you is a chart, if you can get it up, that compares 3 months of this year with 3 months of 19 and shows you the number of operators. If you go to the next slide. The ridership and our on-time performance. So when Sean was talking about, and you can see, and if you look at FY24, that, you know, for instance, September, we had 160 operators. We carried 41,500 riders and ran on time at a 90% on time performance. And if you look at September of 19, you'll see the comparison. We had 198 drivers, 40,000 riders, about the same number of riders, and 96% on time. One of the things I want to pat Sean and his team on the back, when we were running 95, 96, 97% on time performance, there's not a paratransit system that can do that. We feel that there's been a degradation in our service quality because our on-time performance has dropped. But if you look at 90%, it's still really, really good, but it's not good enough for us. So, you know, I compliment our folks. They're working really hard at it, but I mean, we know that we've got a ways to go. And one of those solutions is making sure that we increase those operator numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the slide before, Sean, and I'm sorry, I got all excited about Sean's, you'll see that our ridership is up 15% in 23 compared to 22, and we're back at pre-pandemic numbers. So, we're really pleased that a lot of the ridership's come back. Okay, Sean, I'll shut up.
No, great job, Steve.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that, like, I was hearing from disabled community members is that, you know, sometimes, like, some, like, you know, certain Sunvan employees that they were, you know, dealing with, would say that the reason, you know, on time performance has degraded or been an issue is that, like Sunvan users, especially with, you know, free fares were, I don't know, like taking advantage of the system and going to places that they, you know, you know, other than like what was really like essential, like doctor's appointments. Is that like, is that a position of like Sunvan leadership that is a contributing factor or anything like that?
Zach, if you look at the chart, our pre-pandemic, our ridership is back at pre-pandemic levels. People have the right to move around how they want. Our job as an organization is to provide mobility for people. And we don't discriminate on trip purpose, the number of trips, or anything like that. So okay. If somebody makes an editorial comment, that's an inappropriate comment, and we have conversations with those folks.
Okay. That's very good to hear.
Yeah. So the problem isn't the number of rides we've got. The problem is that we ought to have more buses on the street to meet the demand. And what happens is when we're trying to accommodate the same number of riders we had 5 years ago with 20% fewer vehicles, we've got issues of making sure that we can operate accurate schedules. And that's really the challenge. So again, you know, you hear all the politics about free fare. You know, we don't care. We just want to provide rides, and we just want to be in a position that we've got the resources, whether it's budget, people, vehicles, or whatever, to provide those rides. So, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Thanks, Steve. Mr. Espadas, I did see that you had raised your virtual hand. Do you have a question or a comment?
I actually have a couple of questions. So I don't know if you want them one by one or all at once.
It's up to you how you ask them. I don't.
So when the information was being presented, I heard about like bookers being able to force appointments. Which I get, and that if I were to call, I would want that. But is there a disconnect between forcing an appointment and the ability for the operation side, the actual driver, to be able to accommodate without being late or complicating the on-time percentage?
So let me try this, and Sean may jump in. So we have a finite number of vehicles that we can have available to provide trips. And if you call in today and want to book a trip tomorrow, we may only have, say, 50 vehicles available at that time to meet demand. But the demand is such that I really ought to have 60. So what happens is then the reservationist has to work harder trying to find a trip. And what he means by force is we're taking a trip and putting it on a vehicle that we'd much rather not have to put it on because it maybe makes the driver go a little farther or puts more people on the vehicle when we'd really rather put another vehicle out there, but there's nothing available. So we're in order to meet the demand, we don't want to say, nope, sorry, we got nothing available. So Sean, I don't know if you want to elaborate on that a little bit.
No, it's absolutely right. We've committed to not turning away anybody in terms of their trip. So, that means this system does get stressed. And that does mean that, that we might have, maxed out routes in terms of very tight running routes. And that can impact our service and does, and we see that in the statistics. But we stand by the commitment to not deny trips to people. And quite honestly, there's a number of clients that they, and I don't want to say this, but they're willing to put up with a little lateness, so to speak, and still have the service rather than not be able to secure that trip.
So here's what happens. We've got a bus scheduled to operate, and let's say it's got 15 trips in the next day, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, three of our operators call in sick. I've got 45 trips that day that our dispatchers, within a matter of 30 minutes, have to look for somewhere to put those trips. And if the vehicles are already full, they're going, okay, well, this guy's kind of close to that location. Let's put him on there. And we try to accommodate all trips. And what happens is you push them back. And that's when you see and you hear these complaints that, well, you're going to get me there at 8:30, but you got me there at 9. It's because somebody's trip got displaced. And we tried to, as Sean says, force it into the system so that we can make the trip. So
I guess that leads into my second question of what is your department's magic wand, like big wish that would help get things back on track?
I think if the way the system is modeled, I think there's two things. I think the simple answer is we need to be able to put more vehicles on the street, which is a function of budget, drivers, vehicles, all those things. Right now, probably, it's mostly making sure that we've got enough operators on board. But there are all kinds of other factors that impact that. But that's it. Now, long term, and Rhett will get into this a bit, there are other options that we can look at in the way of creative service delivery, and we think we need to be looking at some of those things to improve mobility.
I appreciate it. I'll wait on my other comments because they had to do with alternatives. So I'll wait to hear the presentation.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Please continue. I do have some additional questions, but I'm happy to kind of hear Rhett's piece or whoever's next, because I know some of those might be answered in the.
Thanks, Zach. Yeah, thank you, Sean. Yeah, we are looking at performing another comprehensive operations analysis. When I say another, we're currently in the final stages of drafting a COA, recommendations from a COA that will be complete in the next couple of months on the fixed route system, so the SunTrans system. What we hope to do regarding SunVan and paratransit service in Southern Arizona is to put together an RFP, and then we'll have award that to a consultant, hopefully in the next few months. The COA will consist of the following activities. We're going to do a peer group analysis. We'll review system policies, and we'll review those against other systems. We'll look at our eligibility process. And then we'll also look at our paratransit system performance. Some of the recommendations are going to pertain to the following. We'll have general service policies that we'll look at. We'll look at customer service protocols. Again, we don't want this to be painful for people that want to ride the system, so we want to make it user-friendly. Safety and driver training protocols, internal and external communications protocols, compliance coordination with other ADA initiatives. Again, we want our service to be seamless with other opportunities in the city, especially as related to ADA. Interagency coordination. And then we are currently running a microtransit service called Sun On Demand. We operate two zones right now. They are mostly centered within Ward 1 mainly and Ward 3. We are looking at what expansion of that might look like, and I think that would solve some of this. And I think Steve agrees. We've had a lot of success with Sun On Demand.
I think the – okay, go ahead, Zach.
Oh, I just, I wasn't sure if there was a natural pause there. So go ahead, Steve.
Well, with me in politics, there's never a natural pause. I'm sorry. I just kind of jump right in. So, I think it's really important to do the COA for a couple reasons. One, there are questions about how good our service is, things we're doing right, things we're doing wrong. This will really help us take a look at, are we using things that are kind of state of the industry in delivering our service and what we're doing, whether it's our training protocols or our customer service or our service policies. So that's important. It'll also give us a good comparison, a barometer of how we're performing next to our peers, which again, I think is important for all of us to kind of understand, you know, how we stand up against, you know, what they're doing in Phoenix and Albuquerque and, you know, other places like that. And then we can start to take a look at some of the creative things they're doing. And then, there are opportunities and requirements for coordination. Are we doing those things? And if we are doing those things, if we aren't, if we coordinate more with 5310 systems or 5311 systems or private nonprofits, are we able to provide a better service to the public in general if we're working together? And then finally, looking at, you know, the different opportunities in microtransit. This industry is changing today. There are more rider choice kind of programs. And to do something like that, it's a great idea. And I think it's something that is, you know, long overdue here. But we want to make sure if we do it, we investigate it, we understand the concept, and we pick the model that'll run right for us and fit it within our system in terms of its operation, its funding, our fare structure, and all those kinds of things. So we're excited.
Thank you, Steve. So I have a couple of follow-up questions regarding that, and I want to get them out before I kind of lose track of them. And then if other members of the commission have other questions, I'm happy to, you know, have you all speak up. One is, so if I'm understanding correctly, an RFP, meaning a request for proposal, will go out in the next few months. I take that to mean somewhere between 3 to 6 months for a comprehensive analysis of Sunvan. How can CODI as a commission or disabled members of the public in general be involved in a comprehensive operations analysis, maybe what that would look like, or can we be informed? Because I'm assuming you would want to take, you know, riders or users of the services experiences into account.
Absolutely. We'll plan on having outreach integrated into the actual COA where we get your feedback and make sure that you're heard and make sure that that feedback is integrated in the draft recommendations we come out with.
Great. Yeah, it would be great if, you know, when that occurs, if you all would reach out to, you know, the city clerk, or, you know, through CODI, or, you know, the chairperson, meaning me or whoever is chair at that point. So, you know, we can ensure CODI involvement. And then the second question I had is, you know, you mentioned the Sun on Demand microtransit experience in Ward 1 and Ward 3. As a disabled person who has community members who can't access Uber or Lyft or any of the other private entities that provide taxiing services because of inaccessibility, you know, I'm very excited about this option, like this potential option. You know, how, like, what is Sunvan leadership's experience with the micro, you know, the micro program so far? Would you all be supportive of, you know, mayoring investigating it further, that type of thing. So,
well, we've had a lot of success with it. The feedback we've gotten from the community has been very, very positive. I can think of one specific example of that is Tucson houses within one of the zones. And it's the only way that many of the residents are able to go out and go shopping and get groceries. So it's been a very good experience, as relates to that, specific housing community. We have looked at expanding it. It's a fairly specialized service. With the other spots we've looked at expanding it have been, obviously further east, in the city. We've looked at an express service that we were going to launch in conjunction with, this other zone of Sun on Demand. And it's still on the table. We just are working through the COA, the existing COA on the fixed route right now. So, we just need a little bit of time and we'll get there.
Okay.
Zach, one of the, you raised a really good point, and that's the kind of the traditional, micro chance that we look at, with Uber and Lyft oftentimes isn't accessible. But there are models out there now today that are in Phoenix, in Columbus, Ohio, other places that have gotten creative, and they have accessible vehicles that provide this service too, that meet the demand of everybody. And one of the challenges is making sure that we design a program that meets everybody's needs and get all that input and then structure something right. Because you're right, we don't have the resources here today, maybe to do some of that, at least the accessible stuff. We know there are opportunities out there with other ride choice providers that can come in and help us really improve accessibility.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. I appreciate, I've done some research in terms of the Maricopa County as on-demand services area, and it's very exciting because it seems like such a kind of a way around of creating ordinances to enforce accessibility upon private entities that may not want to do that, because other municipalities I know have tried to make Lyft or Uber have accessible transit to varying degrees of success. So, do other commission members have questions or thoughts or, things they want to share with Brett, with Steve, with Sean? Mr. Jordan?
Well, thank you. Just a very quick comment. My wife, who you may have seen zoom through my background a little earlier, and I did, we used Sunvan on occasion, and we took a trip a couple of weeks ago, and it just happened to be a trainer was training a very new driver. In fact, it was his first day in training on the road. I guess you call that in service. And I must tell you, I was very, very impressed by the way that was all handled during the trip, the explanation, the guidance that the trainer gave to the new driver. A big thumbs up for that.
Thanks.
Great to hear.
Mr. Spadas?
Yeah, so I had further questions, but they're all going to come together more and wait for the study to be done. And as everyone discovers, excited about it. I did have a comment. I do a lot of traveling, especially to Cleveland and Houston. So I get to see different transit systems. And one of the things I tried to take advantage of when I was in Cleveland was a similar program as SunTrans. And they asked me to apply for SunTrans here, and then they would honor it over there. I applied in January and have yet to hear anything. But one of the things that really caught me during that process was I don't consider myself someone who's really sensitive. Like, I'm usually joking about my physical limitations. The application really just kind of struck a nerve. And it just felt like a horrible experience. And granted, it's, you know, we insert our own tone into emails and paperwork, but it just felt really judgmental. It was not a good experience doing that paperwork. And then again, to not hear back for over half a year of whether I could be eligible or not. So just something to look into as part of that pipeline of improvement of how are we onboarding people onto this system who may not be familiar with the system at all. So I come into it from a position of I haven't always been in a wheelchair. This is kind of new to me. And so not knowing the ins and outs of paratransit or what resources are available can be awkward to navigate. And then from what my perspective is, having a document yell at me didn't make it a good experience.
Derek, was this was the Sunvan ADA application? Is that what you were referring to?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe offline we can discuss that more, and you can let me know what specifically you didn't like, and I'd be happy to go over that with you.
I'll tell you, beyond the process, one of the things that a COA will look at is what we do in our eligibility process. So the law requires that we ask some really objective questions. And we're not supposed to get into emotional kinds of stuff, but how far can you ambulate, you know, things, how many steps can you climb, those kinds of specific things. And one of the things you hear is you're asking me all these kind of cold questions rather than engaging me. And so part of the challenge and one of the good things in the study will be to have them take a look at that and say, are we asking the questions in the right way? We need to get certain information, but are there less impersonal ways of getting the information? So, but that's a really good point. It's not the first time I've heard it or the first city I've heard it in.
Just to provide, you know, some support for that, Steve. I deal, professionally with, social security disability a lot, uh-huh. which it requires a lot of impersonal questions and kind right. of like, can cause discomfort. But one of the things I've learned is that if I, provide I don't know what's happening.
We can still hear you.
Sorry. My computer reading stuff. We're going to leave the meeting for just a quick second and rejoin because
are you guys there? Can't hear you, Steve.
Yes, you're on.
Okay.
Hey, Sue, maybe you could talk instead of waiting for Zach to come on with your question.
Is that okay to do? I always feel like
I'll take over for Zach and say yes. Oh wait, okay. There's Zach. Never mind.
And you were fine, Ms. Holbrook.
Sorry, everyone. My computer just started voicing all the stuff on the screen, and I have no idea what button I hit, but it doesn't seem to be doing it now. But it was very distracting for me. So I guess Sue or Commissioner Kroger, I did see your hand up. So I was going to add, sometimes having a personal touch with someone going through having to deal with all the, you know, all the forms that are required can provide like the level of service and comfort that, you know, disabled people deserve. But Ms. Kroger, you had a question or a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of reiterate, I think, what Steve was saying and appreciate his comment very much. It's an area that really frustrates me often, is the language that we use, the questions that we ask, you know, sort of a tone of you need to prove yourself. And I just think it's something, I hadn't thought about it relative to SunTrans, so I really think it's something we should look at and offer some feedback and input into how that could look differently.
So Easter Seals offers some really, really good training.
Well, and I would be careful of that.
Pardon me?
I would be careful of that. I mean, I think when we start kind of naming agencies that do training, I think there may be some disagreement. So I just...
Well, okay.
Say that.
Point well taken. But let me just say there's really good training out there that talks about how we as transportation providers need to engage people. And understand some of the challenges that people have and be sensitive to that. Those are the kind of things that we try to offer to our employees so that they understand, you know, certain things you say can touch a nerve. There's different ways of doing things. So, and they need to be understanding.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Kroger, and thank you, for Steve, for that comment. I know we're getting close to the end of the 45 minutes or so. Do people, I don't want to exclude questions or comments people may have. So does anyone have a, you know, wrap-up or final question or comment?
Just a quick thought for the upcoming study, but I think safety might be a concern too. So like I intentionally avoid Ronstadt because as someone in a wheelchair, I'm very prone to anybody's immediate reaction. So maybe adding that to the study of both where or how to improve safety,
right.
And maybe even, and I know it's not comfortable, but what are the alternatives? So instead of going to Ronstadt, what is a safer location to go to?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good point.
Great.
Hey, yeah. Zach, I don't want to, we saw the letter that you prepared for the mayor.
Yeah.
A lot of the information, especially in the last six recommendations, were mm-hmm. things we talked about last month. We prepared
right.
a quick update for you on kind of where we are on those. If you're out of time, we won't share them.
No, we can definitely, you know, if you have an update to share with the commission, you know, that would be great.
Yeah, see, that's my cue for Sean to bring up his so I can do this really, really quickly so that you'll just have kind of a sense. But we took those 6 points that you had. The first one was priority boarding for passengers, that persons in mobility devices, that we board them first, and that is, in mm-hmm. fact, our policy. that we tell our operators to board passengers who are using a mobility device first, get them secured and comfortable, and then let other people on. When deboarding, we leave them a little more flexibility because sometimes it's more convenient for the passenger to wait for all the ambulatory folks to get off, and then we provide the assistance. So we're a little more flexible on that, just so you understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so you want to go to the second one? I'm going to blast through these. If you had other questions, we can. Somebody suggested that we, instead of the beeper, that we have a human voice. We can't currently do that with the equipment that we've got. But we're looking at some alternatives that might provide better acknowledgement for people that we have a lift deployed. So what do we get now? So the passenger choice on the Quantums. So we instruct our operators that a person using a mobility device has the choice of using the Quantum or forward facing. Some of our operators honor that direction, some don't. So what we're doing is we've agreed that we're going to put a sign on the vehicles that says using this Quantum is a rider choice. And if you'd like to use another seat, you can just ask the driver. So what's next, Sean? I think we've had a couple comments about the audible devices, the onboard announcements being too loud or too soft. And in fact, that's right. And we're in the process of auditing, inspecting each one of those devices so that we can recalibrate them and make sure they're operating right. Okay, what do we got? Advertising is something. So there's a concern that the buses, the advertising covers up the windows and that obstructs vision. We're aware of that. The city needs to talk to Lamar Advertising about that issue. The space on the outside of those buses is contracted to Lamar, but the city, I think, will make them aware of that. I don't have high hopes that it'll go away, but maybe they can modify the size of the screen that'll make it at least a little easier to see. Mm-hmm. Proper mobility device securement. We have 400 operators, and only one way to do it, but you'd never know that if you watch them. We always train our people on proper securement. We follow state of the industry guidelines. We train all new operators. We post the information. And it's the topic of, regularly the topic of safety meetings. When an operator is seen using improper techniques, we counsel them. And if we have to counsel them too much, we lose our sense of humor. What we ask is that if you use a mobility device and we didn't secure you properly, give us a call. And you don't need to tell the operator. You don't need, just feel free to give us a call, give us a bus number, date, time, where you were, and we can look it up. We can pull the video, and then we can work with the driver to retrain them. So the Suntan app, there's a comment about, can we make it more accessible for people to provide feedback? Yes, our marketing department's working on how we can improve that app. It'll take a minute, but the suggestion is there some customer feedback option that we can put into the app that makes it simple? So where are we, Sean? I think I'm damn.
That's here. A wrap.
I think those were all the identified issues, and then like other than the key directives that we identified in the first part.
Yeah, and we have safety meetings next week, and the several of these are going to be reiterated at safety meetings so that people are aware of it. And we'll continue to work on, and we'll give you updates on this, but probably what's going to happen is when you send that letter to the mayor and council, we'll have an opportunity to respond to them about what we're doing. But now you know kind of what we're up to. And thanks for the feedback.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate that. Commissioner Holt, acknowledge that, but I also want to, Commissioner Holbrook had her hand, virtual hand up, so I want to make sure that I acknowledge her and if she has a question or comment.
Hearing the response that we got to our proposed letter, I wonder whether it really, do we need to send this letter? That's my question.
So, we can have that discussion. What I would think, because the letter, also identified, areas that we were, we as a commission were, pleased about SunTrans' response, which I think the mayor and council need to hear as well. What I was going to try to propose is maybe adding a sentence or two saying, we heard from SunTrans represent leadership on these issue areas. They are currently in the process. I'm just spitballing here so I can be more detailed, but they are currently in the process of resolving or attempting to find worker, address these issues.
Yeah. Well, I see this. So it's supposed to be doing something, I guess. Okay.
So, because that also lets mayor and council know that, SunTrans is following up.
Yeah, with us when, that's great.
And is very responsive, which we really appreciate.
And we do.
You don't hurt our feelings. I mean, we don't take this personal. This is our job, and we need to get kicked around a little bit, and that's okay. We're good with that. Just tell us what we're doing right. Tell us what we're doing wrong. I mean, that's what we want to hear. We're here to serve.
Wow. I appreciate the response, though. Yeah. That's great. You're addressing it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. In my head, it means we have to try harder to hurt their feelings. So it's...
Yeah, I always take a happy pill before the meeting, so it's like I'm good.
As a government employee, of a different set of government, I understand that perspective and acknowledge it. I saw someone's hand raised, I think, but I didn't see whose. It just flashed.
It's mine, Jack. Sue. Okay.
Hi.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Okay. I just had a quick question for Steve. I was just on the website, and I'm very unfamiliar with it, so I need to say that up front. But where exactly is the form that one would fill out for eligibility? Is that online?
It is. Sean, can you answer that question? Because I think I'll probably mess it up.
I think I'll mess it up too, Steve, unfortunately. I think you'd probably need to, my take on it is contacting the ADA office directly is probably the best course of action, I believe. If you have their number, I can give you their number.
Hey, guys, I just put it in. I just put it in the chat.
Oh.
I was just wondering, Derek filled out some kind of form, and I wondered where he got it.
It looks like Alicia did, too.
Yeah.
But it's not online. You have to call in?
You can access it. You just have to fill it out.
Right, but you can access it online?
You can access the document itself, yes.
And can you tell me where that is? Because I don't see it.
Yeah, go to that link I just dropped in the chat box. Oh,
okay. Okay, I can do that later. I didn't see it anywhere. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No problem. Ms. Furman, I saw your hand raised real quick, and I just want to make sure we have a chance to acknowledge you if you have questions or concerns, and then we can let these gentlemen exit if they have other things too. Ms. Furman, did you have a question or concern?
I think she's muted.
We
Anne, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm trying to unmute.
You did it.
So, I had filled one out about a year and a half ago or 2 years for my mom, who was in her 90s, and myself. And I had called, someone had given me the number to call, and they had sent me in the mail the application. And so I filled one out for my mom and filled one out for myself. And but that's the way that I had, that I had done it as far as being eligible for, you know, for rides. But
thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Ms. Furman. Yeah, and I mean, both options seem like really, being able to do it over the phone or with someone's assistance or doing it online. It's best, having both options would be great. Unless there are other questions, we're running a little over time on this agenda item, so I would like to, go on to our last substantive agenda item if possible. You all from SunTran are welcome to stay on the call or leave if you have additional things or at the end of your days to get to. And have a good evening. Thank you, Rhett. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Spade. And thanks, Sean.
You're welcome.
So the next the last substantial agenda item on our list here was consideration and possible approval of the letter to mayor and council regarding SunTran's, directives and key issues. Commissioner Jordan and I drafted some of this together. Most of the substantive credit goes to Commissioner Jordan for identifying some of the issues. Before we get to a motion, I don't know how anyone would feel about making like an addition to, down at the bottom of the document stating, something to the effect of SunTran, leadership met with Cody on October 18th and indicated that they were making substantive progress on ensuring most of these issues were taken care of, or something more graceful than that. But
pardon me, Zach, I'd like to step in for a second. Can you please, for my records, let me know which item number we're on again?
Yes, I'm sorry, Rick. Let me. I had the agenda open, and then somehow I clicked out of it. So hold on just a second. Number 7, Rick.
Thank you. So we ended 6 and we're on 7.
Correct.
Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah. I saw Ms. Holbrook, and then, if Mr. Jordan or anyone else has comments or thoughts.
Yes, this is Holbrook, and I just at the very beginning of the letter, it says, there's one part which needs to be corrected. It's something like out of 500,000, it said and 500,000 instead of out of 500,000. So that's just one little correction. But then I would suggest maybe Ray or you, Zach, could write something about what you just said. I move that we add at the bottom addition about having talked to SunTran people and having addressed those points that we put forth in this letter, that they're going ahead with addressing those points. So that's my motion.
Okay. Mr. Jordan?
In front of me, but yeah, just that one.
Yeah. Mr. Jordan, I saw your hand raised. Did you have comments or thoughts?
Thank you, Zach. First point is actually we're on agenda item number 6 currently. We haven't tackled 7 yet. And Commissioner Kroger's suggestions on the letter, which I'm trying to pull up on my screen now, sound very good. I agree. I'm usually really good at this spelling and grammar thing, and I had missed that. So I'm now highlighting it in red, I think. Did I do that? What have I done? I know. Ah, there it is. It wasn't available to be edited, but now it is. Okay, and we're adding something at the bottom that acknowledges that some SunTran have addressed. Not addressed. That's not the right word. Acknowledged. All of the issues raised, and that they are putting a plan in place to actually address them. How does that sound?
That sounds great to me, Ray.
That's great.
I want to be sure we can take care of this efficiently. Miss Kroger, you had a quick comment or question.
Derek has just opened a can of worms for me, so I apologize. But, you know, I've been on the website looking at that whole process for eligibility, and it's not friendly. It's not welcoming. The language isn't very good. And you can't do it. I don't see where you can do it online. You have to request an application. Anyway, I'm just saying that that's a problem for me, and I don't know whether to address it now or later. So
Ms. Kroger, the next agenda item that we are going to address is taking volunteers to write a report specifically regarding SunTran. So in that report, we could address that. Specific application issue. So this report would be more about the SunTran general busing experience. And we did that because not that they're not integrated, but just that there's so much to SunTran or SunTran that we wanted to be sure, that it was very, very centered in a report that we gave. I don't know if we can, Rick, I don't know if we can, make a motion, or have a motion made for the commission to accept, to designate Mr. Jordan to correct the errors identified and make the additions and then send the report as he has drafted.
Make a motion to approve the letter with the corrections and then forward on to just like you said.
Okay. So if Ms. Holbrook?
Yeah, that's my motion.
Okay. So Ms. Holbrook moves to forward on the letter to mayor and council with the corrections and additions regarding SunTran's progress in taking care of the issues after to mayor and council, and I would be looking for a second.
Commissioner Espadas, I second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Or can you take roll call? I'm sorry, yes. Rick. I'm really tired.
No, you're doing fine. So with roll call, Sue Kroger?
Aye.
Jared Espadas?
Aye.
Billy Holbrook?
Aye.
Ann Furman?
Aye.
Zach Coble?
Aye.
Ray Jordan?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0 to pass the item with corrections.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. So the next and final substantive item on our agenda is like taking volunteers to create a specific SunTran letter or report, kind of in the same format, given people's interest. Do I have volunteers to help draft that report? I'm willing to volunteer, but if we have one or two other commissioners.
You meant SunVan, right?
SunVan.
I've been confusing. Okay, so SunVan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, SunVan.
Since I had the can of worms, I'll volunteer as well.
Yeah, I'd be happy to participate.
Okay, great. Well, I can start the ball rolling this month to get that drafted, you know, to work with you all to get that drafted. Maybe I'll start off with some initial formatting and then we can add in, you know, as the weeks go on, you know, over the course of the next month or so. And then I guess like, that leads to, the final or one of the final agenda items before adjournment is any announcements people have or final things.
Let's put my hand up. I know I'm talking to myself. I know you can hear me.
Yes, you can.
Commissioner Jordan here. The second meeting of the Plan Tucson Transportation Mobility and Access Working Group is on next Monday, and I will be attending. Found the first meeting to be of great interest. I was able to make a whole bunch of suggestions and, you know, do some input, all based on pretty much everything we've talked about with regard to public transit, the condition of the footpaths, sidewalks, I've reverted to Australian then, and all of those kinds of things. So it'll be the next meeting next week will be a continuation thereof.
Awesome. Thank you, Commissioner Jordan, for your participation and update on that. Very, very exciting. I have an announcement. I think we've been continuing on, this path of covering, different issues of the city. In different departments. So one of the other areas of focus that we identified previously was housing and community development, given the affordability of housing. So I would like to try to, invite, someone from the Department of Housing and Community Development on next meeting and kind of do a similar thing that we're doing, with transit. So that would be the plan. Any other announcements at this point in time?
So I have an announcement. On Thursday, October 26th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Kino Sports Complex, there is going to be the Building a Dream Job Fair, which is aimed towards people with disabilities looking to find a job. And also there's still a couple of spaces for employers to be able to set up, if they're interested in diversifying their employee base.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Espadas. Really appreciate that an announcement since it is so timely, with a week, 8 days to go. Mr. Jordan, did you have another announcement or did you just have your hand? Okay.
I do. Thank you, Zach. I've just been typing in the background. I want to quickly read you a final paragraph of that Sun Tran report. It goes like this. At the CODI meeting on 18 October 2023, representatives of Sun Tran acknowledged the above identified issues. They were the issues number 1 to 6 that Steve Spade mostly talked about. And acknowledged the above identified issues and provided some initial information about how those issues may be addressed.
Sounds good.
I will forward that to you, Zach.
You may want to reverse October and 18th, because 18th October is like British, Australia, and the rest of the world format, and then the U.S. does October 18th. 20, yeah.
Thank you for reminding me.
Sounds good. Do apologize. And any other announcements, and then we'll call adjournment. So, okay. Hearing no other announcements, I call adjournment for this meeting at 4:57 p.m.
Great meeting, everybody. Nice to see you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Happy Halloween.
Thanks. Take care.